Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Portugal-based jazz saxophonist and composer, Dizidaro Lazaro. He opened up about his new 2022 CD called Oblivion. He is one of the most prolific and sought-after Portuguese jazz musicians, and he did not stop creating and editing during the various confinements imposed during the pandemic. We get into his full life of music, COVID living, and the future, along with more. Enjoy.
Hey, thank you for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for asking me in without even knowing me. That's amazing.
I love really getting a nice wide swath of musicians on the show. Where exactly are you located?
Well, I live near Lisbon, like in the countryside, 20 kilometers from Lisbon.
Okay, wonderful. So I guess my first question before I get into Oblivion and what's going on with you right now is we went through this time period of COVID, and I'm wondering how you survived it as a musician and how it changed you now that we're coming out of it.
Well, it was a pretty tough situation because here in Portugal, we don't have a lot of protection in terms of like funding for culture and for musicians, or protection for musicians and artists in general. So what happened was, well, I teach in two schools, the schools kept the classes going on, so I kept my salary, and most of the musicians that are also teachers, they were more or less covered. And the problem was with this more centered in performance musicians that they really suffered a lot. Well, I did suffer also because I was used to a performance. I just organized a tour with my band, and we had everything canceled, of course. But I mean, in those times, well, I speak for myself. I don't think about me and my job. It was a very specific worldwide situation that never happened in my life before. So I was concentrated in trying to survive the situation as a citizen of the world, and not especially as a musician in Portugal. But yes, it was tough. I have two kids. They were at home, so me and my wife would have to be taking care of a lot of stuff, as you know. And there was not a lot of time to practice and to write songs. And but I did manage to write two albums. One of which is the one that I'm presenting today. And I think it was good for the creative part of it, because a lot of artistic supplies comes from tough situations, and I think I did my best albums out of this COVID situation. So in a way, I'm glad it happened.
This new conceptual album, your ninth, Oblivion. Talk to me a little bit about how this was affected by, you know, living through COVID and how you feel ultimately about it.
In 2012, I put out this record called Samsara, which was also like jazz rock oriented, and it was very much influenced by these bands that I used to listen as a kid, like Pink Floyd and Dire Straits and Supertramp, Queen, Led Zeppelin, and I used to listen to these lyrics and these heavy philosophical works like The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon. Even though I studied jazz music and instrumental music, I also studied classical before jazz. Even though I was in this instrumental way of expressing myself, I always thought of myself in my compositions as a singer, singing through the saxophone. And this first album in 2012, I was already exploring these ideas of impermanence and of the life cycles, and they kept going through the next quartet albums, like in 2018 Moving and 2019 Homegrown. And this album, Oblivion, it finishes this idea of the cycles. So in this case, specifically, each tune is about a specific age of myself. So for an example, the first song, Supernova, is about the birth. Morningham is about childhood and so on.
So talk to me a little bit about how you initially got involved with music and how the seeds of jazz became what you went after and became your sound.
So my parents used, as I was telling you before, they used to listen to a lot of music at home, not a lot of jazz. They had some Glenn Miller records, and that was about the only jazz music they listened at home. They were listening music all the time. So these great bands, as I said before, like Pink Floyd, Queen, Dire Straits, Supertramp, Led Zeppelin, Genesis, Paul Simon. You name it. They had every vinyl of these great artists, Bob Dylan. And I was always listening to music at home. And my mother was a saxophone and flutist in the local marching band of my hometown. I was grown in the south of Portugal in a very small city called Tavira. She's a very nice city, by the way. You should visit if you can. And she put me on the band when I was around 10, and I went to learn clarinet, and after that I went to classical schools to learn clarinet. So I was like 10 years learning classical music, and after that, when I was about 16, there was this magazine collection, this magazine that was putting a collection of jazz music, and I didn't know a lot of jazz music. And the first CD that came out with this collection was Blue Train by John Coltrane, and when I listened to that album, the John Coltrane album, I was crazy about it. I decided that in that day that I would be a saxophone player playing jazz music someday. Even though I was studying to be a classical trained clarinet player, and I really wanted that. My dream was to play on a symphonic orchestra. So I was amazed by that sound, but I was like putting it on the shelf and saying, "Wait for it, I will go there someday." But then it just happened naturally because I was I was getting involved in more jam bands and playing also funk music, some funk music, some bands in Portugal. And then one thing led to another. I started to listen to these great funk bands like Tower of Power and Jamiroquai and Incognito, and that those bands led me to a more improvisation side of the music. So I really became obsessed with Coltrane, and that was the beginning of all of it. And I'm still a bit obsessed with John Coltrane nowadays.
What was your first live jazz show you ever saw?
When I went to Lisbon was already a very vibrant scene by that time, like in the beginning of the 2000s. And I was watching a lot of Portuguese bands, but I also saw some American artists there, like David Beanie, the saxophone player. I saw him there, but I saw a lot of Portuguese. That must be the first one I saw, probably. I cannot remember, actually.
What is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? What motivates you every day?
Well, there's this thing that you never quite satisfied about anything. I mean, it sounds a bit negative what I'm saying, but I have this notion that, with this fast access to information, we know everything that's happening. We know all the young cats that are playing in the United States. I mean, we follow them from Portugal. We follow the cats from France. We follow the cats from Germany, Netherlands. So there's good jazz everywhere, and good musicians and good artists everywhere. So we all, and I teach. I always say to my students not to compare them with the guys that are staying in the next room, but like to listen to these great American, especially American artists. I have a bias towards American players. Even though I also like some European players, so there's this notion that there's a lot of great players everywhere. So whenever I feel like I did accomplish anything, I always look at the context and say, okay, there's still a lot of you for you to to grow, especially because I'm I like the technical side of it, the geek side of being a saxophone player. So I like to invest on my technique and in my sound, and to try new stuff and read new stuff as I know that it's a never ending road, that's already the motivation is already there, because I know it's not going to stop ever.
Let's say you come to Kansas City to perform this new album to audiences. Explain what a show would be like.
It's a trip, actually. It's a voyage. It's most of my albums, as I told you before, I'm very influenced by Pink Floyd and these kind of conceptual albums. So I always try to make a sort of story that connects all the tunes. So it's not a collection of tunes. It's really a musical album, what I write. Even though you can argue that stylistically or aesthetically there's so many differences. Yes, there are many differences, but they have a point. And I think in my head they connect somehow. So I mean, whenever people come to my show, they feel like they've been through a trip, and that's very positive. Of course, there's also the part of the improvisation and the exciting side of watching some virtuosity or some intensity in the music that the music provides, because also the styles are very different. It goes from jazz rock to funk to reggae to more ballad rock or to, yeah, it's very eclectic music, and I think it's very interesting to watch.
So if anybody out there wants to learn more about you, live shows, pick up a copy of Oblivion or any of your other albums, where's the best place for them to go?
That would be my Bandcamp page, which would be thegidelio.bandcamp.com.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you for opening up. Thanks for reaching out to the show. It's great to talk to you, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much, Joe Menino.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Portugal, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Dizzy Darrow for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.